Curious Minds asks the questions that might seem crazy, but when you look at the data, some things might not seem so crazy after all. For example, have aliens ever lived on Earth? Do you really want to know the answer? Crazy Curious Minds is not afraid to investigate the issues important to the survival of mankind, like extinction, aliens, world events, and the paranormal. Hosts Tony Tiora and Chad McKinney talk from locations on the opposite sides of the planet in search of the truth. Is the truth hiding in plain sight? Let's find out.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Crazy Curious Minds. I'm your host, Chad McKinney, with my co-host and good friend, Tony Tiora, out in Sapporo, Japan. And today you're listening to episode 8, and it's entitled Educated Enslavement. And I've always said, basically, education is all what you make of it. Where it becomes scary, though, is when someone else is making the education and giving it to you, then you're kind of at their whims. And so I would like to know, I think, Tony, you're the one that came up with the title for this. Why did you pick the title, and what does this mean to you?
I like to think of myself occasionally as a wordsmith, right? And and I don't like things like concepts of, like, you know, having two thoughts that are contrary, but then like believing both, because that's like insane. That's kind of like, you know, doublethink, you know, what George Orwell talked about.
Yeah.
So education is a double-edged sword, right? Because, like, what's the difference between education and indoctrination? You know, you're the mind guy. You're the guy of the mind here to study all the psychology. I mean, I think that, like, it's, you got to be careful of what you learn. It's kind of like, you know, when you're playing golf, like, practice does not make perfect in your swing. Practice makes permanent. Okay.
So you could put it. Wow.
Yeah. Practice does not make perfect. It makes permanent. It makes maybe permanently a bad habit. So, like, if you're educated to think that, like, you know, processed bread is healthy for you because it tastes good, you know, and that's what you're taught, you know, it's actually not, you know, if you're taught that, like, you know, anything that's sweet because it tastes sweet and it's good for you, you know, drinking all this high fructose corn syrup in your food is good for you, you know, you're wrong. So, like, you can be taught, like, oh, this is, you know, so I think, like, and like in China, in these places, I mean, I hate to pick on China, but I mean, this indoctrination goes on all over the world. So education and indoctrination. So, you know, you could be indoctrinated into being a slave and think that that's education. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, what would be the benefit of doing that?
Oh, well, like, I used to run companies, man. I always talk about trying to be ethical and moral, but, like, I mean, isn't it great if you could just get like
slavery? Like, where's it going already? Yeah.
I mean, that's why they had slavery, right? You know, I mean, like, people are like, hey, you know, we found these folks, you know, in Africa, you know, we can get them to work for free. We just got to feed them, you know? And so, but then, you know, that ended. So they're like, okay, so how do we, you know, educate people to working for low salaries, that live in crappy conditions, you know? The funny thing was, is, as you probably know, you know, like in the U.S., you know, when African Americans came here, the last thing they wanted them to do is to learn how to count and spell and read a book, because they might read something and say, holy shit, I'm getting underpaid. They're like, what do you mean?
Okay. People who could read were killed, who were dark skinned back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, they got killed for probably looking at the wrong woman. You know, they got killed for, I mean, let's get real, you know, I mean, it was slavery. This is a bad situation for most folks, you know, if you were, you know.
Right. That wasn't even the wrong woman. It was just a woman. And they, you know, I mean, they had that whole race divide thing.
Well, I mean, it was a shitty system, right? I mean, that's rid of it, and people got rid of it. You know, I mean, there were slaves throughout the world, throughout the centuries. There'd been white slaves, probably not a lot, you know, compared to the African, but I don't know the history. So someone can correct me. Maybe we'll find it that the Romans had all these white slaves. I mean, I saw some movies that I mean, I'm not like an expert on slavery. You know what I mean? I just think it's a really bad system. I think that, like, I always say this quote that, like, you know, prison is not a place, right? It's a state of mind. So once your mind is screwed up, if you don't have a good education or you've been educated, you've actually been indoctrinated, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we're talking about topics for the podcast, this was interesting to me because I think that like in America, everybody's like, oh, you got to get an education, right? Got to go. And what's that mean? Oh, you got to go to college, right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? For the average American, it means you go get some stupid ass student loan, right?
A piece of paper, and, yeah.
Right? You go, well, you don't believe in loans and this whole money thing, but at the end of the day, a lot of these people are trying to pay back these things. So people become indentured servants. They go out and they take these loans and they figure, well, you know, if I get this education, I get a degree, I'm going to get a job. But the truth of the matter is what they've mostly been sold, in my opinion, is like, hey, you don't have to go to work. You don't have to actually do anything. You can just sit, you know, hang out with your friends and collect, you know, student loan money. And so there's no like really good feedback, you know, and plus they don't have to pay the money. If people actually had to pay the money back, like if when you went to school and you couldn't borrow the money and you had to work like at 7-Eleven to pay for your tuition, I think people would be really careful about the education they got. And you don't like, well, let's not get off track. Let's talk.
Yeah, because I got some different things on that too that we can bring up later on in the conversation. But real quick to get back in indoctrination first, because I think that's a very interesting topic or aspect of this topic.
Yep.
What are some ways that people are indoctrinated? Like towards what beliefs, what kind of practices, what kind of behaviors, what kind of thought patterns?
Well, everybody. Here's the first thing. I think people. It's going to sound crazy because like I went to college and have a college degree in engineering and whatnot, but I'm not so sure that like people are indoctrinated that they got to get a 4-year degree to be successful, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. So like I think that people are like, you know, like I think people would be surprised. So like I know you're not a big fan of Bill Gates, but like, you know, I'm going to bring this up. So as an example, you know, I'm just going to bring an example. So what degree do you think that Bill studied to be as successful as he was at Microsoft? What degree do you think he got? Like,
it's kind of cheating because we had the conversation. This was after I think my rant and bashing of him. You gave me a little more insight, so I already know the answer to it. But
what is it?
Business.
What degree does he have?
Business, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so I'm going to correct you again because your brain's not working well. So I'm joking. I shouldn't be mean to you on the show because that's not nice. But look, Bill Gates.
Hey, if we can film it, Tony, I got no problem bringing a defamation case.
All right. So look. So let me just tell you something. His degree, like you know, when people go to college, right? Some people go and they're like, you know, I don't feel like finishing school. So if you go to school for 3 years and you just bug out, what kind of degree do you get? You get the bug out.
I gotcha. So yeah, he studied business, but he didn't get a degree.
He never got a degree.
Yeah.
He didn't finish school. He's one of the richest guys in the world. So I guess you could be like one of the richest guys in the world and college really didn't matter. Right.
Well, even beyond being rich, like I know Malcolm X, I completed all the way up to 9th grade. And most millionaires and billionaires, Malcolm X is by far one of the most brilliant people I've ever read in my life. And that's including Thoreau and Einstein and everybody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Leagues above when you look mm-hmm. at his intelligence. And the majority of people who are, not the majority, I don't know if that's the correct term or correct assessment, but a large portion of people who are million and billionaires do not have college degrees.
Yeah, well, a lot of them don't. I mean, like people think that you got to have like a college degree. So like, he never got one. So like, and I know this. So, okay. So like Michael Dell, you've heard of Dell Computer, right?
Yeah.
What degree do you think he got?
Maybe high school then. Huh? I'm not sure.
Well, what happened was he started making money in college, right? So he quit college to do his company. The guy's worth like $14 billion. Jeez. You know, he doesn't have a degree either. Okay. So like, you're thinking like, you know, everybody kind of like knows Dell Computer, right? I mean, like, you know, so Bill Gates doesn't have a degree, right? Well, who's his competitor, right? You know, Larry Ellison from Oracle. You've heard of him, right?
Oh, I know Oracle.
Yeah. The guy who started that's another college dropout. Okay. Right. I mean, like you can go through the list. I mean, there's a ton of these guys that just like, you know, You think like in America, everybody's got to go to college to make a lot of money. Some of the most richest people in the world, you know, like didn't go to college. Well, they went and they dropped out. Another guy.
Or just didn't go.
Well, like, here's another one. Paul Allen, who is with Microsoft, right? You've probably heard of him, right? He owns like sports teams and stuff like that out of Washington. You've heard of Paul Allen or maybe not?
I don't know too much about him, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, he's another dropout. He's worth just a, you know, a few billion dollars, like $12 billion. He's got a little more money than you and I do. But, you know, I mean,
for the moment.
I mean, like a lot of these guys, everybody thinks you got to go to school to do well. So the point I'm trying to make here is not that you don't go to school, but school is not exactly a requirement, you know, to be like an owner of a company or to be successful.
By no means.
As a matter of fact, I think schools teach people, you know, like right now, like if you're taking, I think, and I know you're one of these guys and you're probably going to be, you know, one of the outliers that'll be successful. But I think that when people like use college to survive, like there's a lot of people in the U.S. that are just, you know, they're like, oh, I don't want to go to work. So, hey, I'll just take out another student loan, you know, and they're vacillating. Like you've got.
I think that's a small percentage of people, actually, to be honest with you. In terms of like that approach to it, I think more what you find is people who have been bought and sold, people have bought into the idea that you need a degree in order to be successful, in order to open doors, in order to learn how to run a business. In some things, you know, a degree is mandatory. If you want to be a teacher, you got to have a degree in the current, right, you know, culture. If you want to be a practicing doctor, if you want to be not even an engineer always, but like you know, those kind of things right there. I mean, if you want to be a barber, you have to go to barber school to an extent, you know what I mean, unless you open your own practice out your house, right, and doing your thing, right. So I mean, there's definitely certificates and stuff like that, and I think really more where the education would benefit from is a focus study. You know, like, I mean, back in the day, people had trades and people still have trades. And what's interesting is people go get these 4-year degrees, or you could go in to a trade, for example, electricity or plumbing or construction.
Well, there's a joke. There's a joke that goes around, right? Like the electrician's working on some lawyer's house, right? And the guy comes in and he's charging like $150 an hour, you know, to like
the electrician is.
Yeah, electricians, I've seen it, they do. And so the electrician's in the lawyer's house, you know, and he's like, charging $150. He goes, what's the rate? He goes, $150 an hour to fix this shit. And the lawyer's like, Jesus Christ. He goes, I don't even make that, you know. He goes, and the electrician is like, what do you do? And he goes, well, I'm a lawyer. And the electrician goes, yeah, I didn't make that when I was a lawyer either. You know? Right? So, you know, I mean, so don't get me wrong. You can make, I think people are missing out when, like, a couple things. If you go to school, right, and you don't love what you're studying, like, it's not interesting, and you're like, wow, I really want to be an engineer, I really want to be a writer, I really want to be a doctor, and it's not, and you're just doing it because you want to do it for the money, you know, or you think you're going to make some money, you're going to end up being like some corporate slave somewheres, you know.
Yep.
You know, working as a slave. You better.
And you consider yourself lucky, and then you call yourself lucky at the end of the day because of it.
Well, yeah, you're like, oh, I got a job, you know. They don't teach people, like I said earlier, critical thinking in the other show. People need to think critically. They need to really love what they're doing, and it has to have a value, right? You know, I mean, you can only have so many people that aren't producing stuff in a society, right? I mean, like, everybody, I think, nowadays wants to be like an influencer or something like that. Jesus, that's what we're doing, right? We're on this show, but we're not going to make any money. What are we going to influence, right?
I mean, we'll sell it to Spotify for, you know, a couple billion, you know.
No, it's not happening, Tad. But, you know, my whole life, I've worked as an engineer building shit, right? Designing stuff, you know, working on things, except for like some government work where I told you, like, we read newspapers all day. But, you know, most of the work that I've done is like, you know, I worked at a toy company. I've seen toys created. You know, the banking stuff that I've done, you know, that's probably like also not very useful. I mean, but at least people can go get their ATM card and they get money and buy a house or whatever. So there's some value in that. But like, I really value the people like who are like fixing like my house, you know, come in like electricians or, you know, a plumber. You know, or somebody who can like dig a hole and put your pipes in, you know, or somebody who can teach your kids, you know. But a lot of people just studying shit that I have no clue. Like, you've been in college for how many years? You've been in college, Chad? Tell me.
So, oh God, I had no idea. For college, so my parents paid for my college. I was very blessed and fortunate for that. I started that in 2004.
Wait a second, you're still in college.
2009.
You're still in college. How long you? I want to know, like, how long have you been in college?
In grand total years? Yes. I mean, God, I don't know. You'd probably be looking. I did my bachelor's 5, did a year of law school, did a master's in 3. So what is that right there? 5, years, so that's 6, then 9. And then I did start my doctorate 2014, should be done this year, so that's 6 years. So what is that? I mean, 15 years, right?
Yeah, okay, 15 so you probably years. So you're one of those, you know, that's why the United States math like is like rated like in the lower 50 or something. Now people can't add, but no, you added it up correctly, I think, Tad. But you're like 15 years in school, right? So let me ask you a question. Do you see people like around you all those years? Do you see anybody say like, man, that person should just get out of school. I don't know if they're ever going to get a job. Like, are they going to be able to get a job? Like you're trying to get a PhD, right? I get it. That can take a long time. If I have a kid that takes 15 years, I think we're going to have a discussion, like if I'm paying for it, you know? But well, if you want to take... Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, please, okay. So I think that brings up an interesting point on that, actually. So there's nothing wrong with education, but it's what you make of it, what you're pursuing, and what your plans are of how you're using it to benefit your life and the lives of others. How can you make other people's lives better? So you mentioned that like United States is pretty low in terms of education. I did a little research beforehand. And from according to Business Insider and a few other places, the United States is ranked 27th in the world out of for education and healthcare out of the entire, you know, so-called developed world.
Oh, that's a lie. It's got to be lower than that. You know, the United States for healthcare, like by far, I'm telling you, like I live in Japan, so I'm kind of proud. You know, I'm living in Japan now. We're like at the top 1, 2, and 3, and the United States is like off the charts, right?
Yeah.
So like you know, like for COVID-1984, this is a good place to be, and I'm glad my son goes to school here. To be honest, he goes to an English speaking school. He, you know, my son's 5 years old. He speaks Japanese and English, and he reads and writes like reasonably, like you know, maybe a 6 or 7 level, year old level. And in the United States, I don't think he'd be getting that kind of education. He can add numbers and all this stuff. And I was like, man, I couldn't do that stuff until I was 8, you know, and I'm an engineer, you know. The education is just different here, dude. But like,
it is.
But the thing is, I'm not here to beat up the United States, right? I mean, the problem is, how can you survive as a country? How can you have, like, how can you have nothing but people working as slaves and not being creative? And I mean, the United States is very creative in Silicon Valley, don't get me wrong. But I think that, like, We're losing a huge, I mean, a lot of those folks aren't even from the United States. Like I've been to Google's campus and all these different campuses, Amazon and all. Like I'm a tech, you know, I've been a tech exec for years. So I walk around, like a lot of these places, half of them aren't even from the United States. You know, they get the H-1, whatever visas that they get, you know, and they come to the United States. I think America's falling behind. And I think it's sad, man. I think it's really sad.
It really is. And so, well, I mean, like, that's kind of where I was going with this is like in terms of nothing being wrong with higher education, so-called higher education, again, what you make of it. But in life is the best teacher. They call the universe the university. They call the universe and the university are similar for a reason. in terms of like, take Sweden, for example, or Canada. Right. I'd like to focus on Sweden. Sweden provides free education to everybody, regardless to what degree they want to pursue, as long as they make the grades and they're showing up and they're doing their studies.
Well, that's the difference. We have free education too, Chad. Nobody has to pay for education. They take student loans out, and they're not going to pay them back. And they're not.
You pay so much on that, Tony. No. Like you pay so much on those. So even if you're like, first off, you pay taxes. Second, like you have. You basically would may start taking student loans out. You've already set yourself back in terms of, so you're paying right there in terms of your ability to go and acquire assets that would require bank loans and stuff.
No, I shouldn't have said that. But I think a lot of people are just not going to pay them back. They're just going to say, screw it. I read articles where people left the United States because they didn't want to pay their student loans, which is really sad. But
see, what they should be doing is all you got to do for that is like, you know, go get a molar out, fake your death. throw that molar in a cadaver, and then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, goodbye, student loan debt.
Yeah, I mean, like Chad, I don't know, you know, like I think the student loans have created like, I don't know what the word is, but there's a word for it. But basically, when you allow all these like crappy online schools, like here's the deal. Everybody wants an online college. They want to make something online because they're like, hey, if we can get some suckers in, we can get them student loans. We'll overcharge them. You know, we'll make some. I mean, I think there's been a proliferation of these like bullshit colleges giving bullshit degrees, and then the kids are strapped with the debt, right? They that's why I'm calling it enslavement. Okay, this is making my point. Sweden, you know, you got it. You know, it's free, but you got to go to like you got to get certain grades. The United States has created this huge problem by allowing all this free money. You know, I don't have a problem with free school, but a free money to pay for like crooked, you know, universities. I mean, let's get real. Like, would you go to Trump University?
No.
I mean, like, whether you like Trump or not, I wouldn't go to Biden University. I wouldn't go to Trump University. I wouldn't go to Obama University. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just, none of this makes sense to me, right? I mean,
it makes sense. It's just you don't like where it adds up to.
It's money. You think Trump made a college because he cared about the kids? Seriously, do you really think he did?
So that goes into something too that I think we can get into, and then I kind of like to.
No, I'm not beating up on Trump. I'm not saying
No. Well, here's what I'm saying on that though.
Go ahead.
Like in terms of like the for-profit universities is what you're speaking on.
Right.
It does go back again to like, you know, education is what you make of it. You can go to a for-profit university. You can pay way more than you would pay for somewhere else. But the same token, like it does allow people the flexibility to work on their career. It does allow them the flexibility to have a family, to have these other options. So the argument for that is like there are benefits to it. Now, in that same token for what you're saying, there is a good amount of financial predation out there. And I worked at a place a while back, and I'm not naming the place. I'm not doing anything like that. And I'm just speaking in general, not related anywhere in general.
Right.
But I've seen places where people who are not qualified to go and be at that school are told they have to be enrolled because of certain quotas that the sales force has. And again, this is just speaking general. It's not naming any universities or anything, but
I'm going to name them. It's all of them. I can guarantee you. It's all of them. I can guarantee you that any school that's for profit guarantee has people out there selling, like, you know, trying to get people, you know, into schools. I can guarantee it. It's all of them.
Well, there's that part for sure. They're called enrollment counselors or things of that nature. They have quotas they have to meet, their salary, hence their livelihood, or their tuition reimbursement depends upon their ability to meet a quota on a monthly basis.
Okay, so you're saying there's sales agents out there trying to get people into some of these universities, and they make commissions off of their sales. So therefore,
they don't make commissions off their sales. What they do is they make quotas. And by making quotas, then you would eventually maybe lead up to a different tier and for that. But like you don't enroll Susie into a school and you make 10 grand off of her enrollment. There's nothing like
that. Why? Because probably, I'll tell you what probably happened. It's probably illegal, right? They probably made some law that you can't give commissions. So they found, how can we find a way to get around this? So here's what we'll do.
It's the higher education that you're referring to.
It is probably illegal. So they can't do it. So they say, how can we get it? How can we skirt the law and push our school to make more money? So like, hey, we got an idea. We'll give you, you know, if you do 5 people, You're rated as an A, recruiter, and if you do 10, that means you must be working more hours, right? You wouldn't lie into the students to get kids that aren't qualified to take loans that they shouldn't take. They can't.
Actually, they're told to. They're told to, and they're also guided, based because sometimes these loans are based on credit or other things. They're actually told which ones to steer them towards in terms of financial lenders. Why don't you just, you know, you can select anyone. So you're in the room with them as you're signing them up. You can select any, sometimes, not always. But
did you
especially
do this work, Chad? Is this the work that you were involved in?
I was working this place. I can't get into that right now. I can't get any of that stuff on it. I'm not naming anybody. I'm not doing anything.
You know about these people that have these kind of like these, you know,
and it could have come from any university anywhere in the world.
I got you anywhere in the world. Uh-huh. So I believe that it's out there.
It is out there.
I'm going to give you a word that I think is important for people to understand. You ever hear of the word moral hazard? Have you ever heard of that word? Moral hazard.
No,
it's a really important word. I think people listening to this show, if they learn one word on this show, it's called moral hazard. Okay. So I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you from a site that I don't trust, but at least on stuff like this, I kind of trust these guys because, you know, there's not like much in it for them to make money. But, and by the way, Wikipedia, they're asking for money now. I'm never going to give them any more money. I learned that these guys are corrupt and so now we lost Wikipedia as they're not going to give us money. The show's not going to run anyhow, but I'm telling you, I don't trust Wikipedia anymore. But for
they're very, very manipulative in all the stuff.
Well, I don't think for definitions of words, they're not going to change, but like if it's about somebody, you know, people pay them money and they'll put whatever the people pay them money to say about something. Yeah. My new Wikipedia, like I was on Wikipedia and they took my site down like years ago and I never complained. I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? Probably some other writer didn't want me online and someone paid some money and they removed my name. But in any case, moral hazard. In economics, moral hazard occurs when an entity has an incentive to increase its exposure to risk because it does not bear the full cost of that risk. For example, when a corporation is insured, it may take on higher risk knowing that the insurance will pay the associated cost. A moral hazard may occur when the actions of the risk-taking party change to the detriment of the cost-paying party after a financial transaction takes place, okay? So basically, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like these sweatshops or whatever that like go out and try to sell people into these universities because they get, you know, more money, whatever the scam that was created to get that money. But they don't care. They don't care to put the kid into the school and take on the debt because they're not exposed to it. They're creating more risk, but they're kind of like insured against it, you know, because the kid takes the loan, but then the government backs up those loans, right? Most people couldn't get the loans, right? They can't get a car loan. They can't get a loan for a credit card, but they can get a student loan, right? So the thing is, how can somebody have really bad credit is my understanding. And today you can get a student loan. Is that correct?
Not always. Yes and no. It is if you start talking about the Stafford Binet loans when up to a certain point. But once you reach a certain point, then you would need a grad plus loan or a plus loan. And right. then those are credit based. But they're still a little more lenient than for sure other loans on there. Uh-huh. Real quick, because I do know we like to keep it at 40 minutes. I want to kind of flip the conversation on the side if you're all right with it.
Please.
Thank you. And I want to go into the slavery part of education from what you're saying. Now, what we've talked about up till now is basically economic enslavement in terms of buying into the illusion that you need a degree to participate in society in some meaningful manner that will give you a wage beyond a minimum wage, which right. we've already discussed is complete bullshit, scientifically speaking. But in terms of where I'd also think is very important to address, at least briefly, is the indoctrination process that takes place basically from the time the child is born all the way till they get to the school system. Now let's kind of ignore the time from infancy until they go to kindergarten, for example, just because there's a lot of factors contributing to that. Right. Although that's also very cyclical, you know, the circle of life kind of thing right there. Right. In terms of, well, they're basing their parenting based upon their educational experience as well. So, you know, chickens and eggs and all that.
Right.
But in terms of when someone gets into the school system from pre-K, early elementary, and so on, they're also indoctrinated for a few other things that are very, very, very deep psychologically that it should be addressed. One is the indoctrination towards patriotism, blind patriotism.
Right.
The other is an indoctrination towards acquiescence to authority. The other is The other is basically, in terms of the acquiescence, which kind of twofold, is a subservience. And basically under, you know, kind of operate under a grading system that someone else is created. And then the last way, I mean, not last by any means, but...
So don't tell me you're one of the people that think that, like, everybody should get an A. Because, like...
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
Tell me what you're saying, Chad.
Yeah, so what I...
What do you say, Frank? Like, for me, like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. And if you have 2 + 2 and you write 5, that answer's wrong. And if you get, like, so... If you get, like, if you have 100 questions and you get 5 wrong, guess what? You get a 95, you know, out of 100. I mean, like, what do you mean that the grading system is like run by other people? It doesn't make sense. I'm just curious about that because I don't think I'm going to agree with you on this grading thing you just mentioned.
I'll touch on it, but I don't want to focus on it because I think there's way more important things we can get to.
Okay,
on
keep going.
But like, so in terms of what I mean by that, though, is, you know, for mathematical equations or things that are concrete like that, math, for example, you know, I understand it. But like where you get into a bit of trouble is where there's a few ways actually. It's very deep. But like one is when you start creating.
Chad, if you get in trouble, you do what Trump did. You go cheat on your SAT. You have somebody, you have your smart friend who's like an engineer and he takes the SATs for you and then you get into Wharton. That's what you do.
God bless him.
Kidding. I'm just kidding. We just lost half the fans. I hope he didn't do that, to be honest. But you know, I wouldn't put it past any of these politicians that cheat on a test. But go ahead.
Where the grading part gets, yeah, God, no question on it. a lot of them are failing life's tests right now. But where the grading part gets detrimental to the psyche of the human being is when their creativity is graded upon. That's a significant thing right there. In terms of their ability. And like, there's a quote, it might be from Einstein actually, where everybody is born with intelligence, but if you judge a fish by their ability to climb a tree, they're always going to be demarked stupid, basically. And once we start having those grades given upon us or thrown upon us, based upon a lot of times subjectivity, and the mood of the person who's issuing these grades, what happens is that forms an identification. Oh, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at art. I'm not good at science. I'm not good at writing. And for example, I'll speak on this. And again, I don't want to focus on this, but like I was told for a long time in high school, in junior high, that I wasn't good at writing. And
I got a little news for you. I looked at your first book. You weren't good at writing.
Well, but yes, I was a little bit. I mean, I was 24 when I wrote that first book, but the second book though, well here, I think that's a perfect thing though. Like, look at the second book. Like, I mean,
right, look, Chad,
you've talked about
this. Look, what I worry about, I'm not one of these people that like, I don't even like to use these words like woke or this or that or whatever, but you know, but like for me, you know, sometimes kids aren't good at shit. Like if you tell your kid, hey, you know, yeah, you can't run and you're, you know, you don't know how to kick a soccer ball. You know, I mean, you can do it a certain way. Like when my son's playing soccer and he's not doing something well, you know, I'll talk to him and say, look, you need to improve upon this. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, hey, you were great at that pass, you know, when you kicked the ball into the stands and it was like 180 degrees the wrong way. Right. And like, and when people's writing sucks, you know, you could say, you don't have to say that it sucks. I mean, I said your stuff sucked, but you know.
How about the new book though? Is the new book?
No. The truth is, I think I said this on the other show. Your new book blew my mind away. I didn't even think it was you. I thought somebody else wrote it, to be honest. You know, did somebody else write that one or is it really you?
Oh God, man.
I believe that it's you. But the thing is that you're saying like, you know, I get what you're saying. Cause you're thinking from a psychological perspective. You don't want to like ruin the kid, like to say, hey, you're not able to write, you know,
ever. Cause that's where it is, where it becomes, you're not able to write ever.
Then you got bad
it's
teachers.
One thing about improving things.
You got
it's
bad another teachers thing. Then.
Exactly.
It's just bad teachers. If a teacher says to a kid, look, this sentence structure, you know, does not fit the norms of where you live. Like in California, you know, you got a verb here, an adjective here, and a noun there. you know, and you got them in reverse order. Well, maybe if you're studying Japanese, it'll work. But guess what? In America, you got it in the wrong order. So you got to turn things around. And you don't say the kid's stupid, but you don't say, you know, oh, you know, you get an A, everybody gets an A. You just got to work a little harder next
100%,
time.
100% on that.
Yeah.
100% on that. Yeah, of course. No, like, I mean, that's with anything. Like, you know, anything. It's like watching, you watch the training for box for Mike Tyson when he was trained by Customato. And you'll see Mike working the bag or the focus pads or something. And you'll see Cuss on the side and it'll be like, it's good. It's not perfect. It's good. It's great, but it's not perfect. We want perfect. And so there's nothing wrong with continuing to refine. Mike Tyson is one of the greatest boxers of all time, my personal feeling, in terms of the heavyweight division. I got nothing but love for that guy. But real quick, because I know we're running out of time, and I do want to get to
Let's go beyond. I think on this one, we can go a little bit beyond, because I want to make sure we get a few points, because I'm not happy with this podcast, but keep going.
The one thing I do want to touch on in terms of indoctrination towards enslavement is you get the education system, but history is wrote by the victors, so to speak. And that's I forget where that quote came from.
Well, you don't even need the quote. It's true. I mean, yeah. Like you win the war, you write the books. The losers don't get a chance to write the books. But yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And so this is where it becomes very tricky as well, too, is the curriculum. And there's so much, the curriculum is just one big indoctrination to a large extent. And there's not a lot of development of critical thinking skills, which is what we spoke about earlier that's needed. I think we spoke about that in our last episode. Critical thinking skills are where needed really to wake up from what's going on. And really, I think what'll help people realize when and when they're not being manipulated. So that's a huge factor on there in terms of the identification, because say you look at a history book and it's showing like, you know, it touches on.
Well, it's like if you're Japanese American, it says, hey, Japan lost the war, you know, and they were put in, you know, in camps during the war. I mean, that's got to be depressing for a Japanese kid in America, you know?
Even it goes as far as like in terms of the term minority, for example, right? Like you go in there and they deem people with color, people of color, people dark skin, however you want to describe it, as minorities. I'm using air quotes right there.
Well, yeah, but that changes. Like for me as an engineer, I think minority is okay. Majority, minority. Mm. If you're under 50%, guess what? You're the minority. You know, if you're
You're not though. You're not. Like when you look at like there's a couple things on that. For example, one. The term minority has a lot of negative connotations, so
I don't like the word either. I think I've gone somewhere, you're a minority party or majority party. I mean, they use these words, right?
But the global thing, that's where we really start looking at, because if you look at, okay, people with dark skin, actually are the majority of the entire globe. And
I get what you're saying, but if you live in New Jersey, right, and you're like, 20% are African Americans and 80% are white. And I'm not saying that's the case. Say it's like 70 white, 10% Asian, and 20, you know, African Americans. In California, I'm a minority. I'm a white guy, okay? And in California, I'm a minority. I am. Latino Americans, you know, outnumber me now. I have no problem with that. It is what it is. And someone says, hey, you're a minority member, you know, of California. I'm like, yeah, that's true. I don't give a shit. I don't take that. Now, here's the thing. Maybe because I read a lot of
that afterwards. Go ahead, keep going.
Well, but like George Orwell and stuff like that talks about, you know, it's all about words, right? You know, doublespeak and things like that. And words can have connotations. You might think like, well, like if they change the word that like, you know, you're instead of minority, you know, minority might to some people in their head might mean, well, I'm not important because I'm a minority, you know. But like, you know, as a white
guy, more was portrayed.
Well, that's the thing. So look, we can change the words, you know, we can say minority. I mean, like, you know, I don't think I could be wrong, but I don't think like white folks went out and said, we're going to use one minority to insult, you know, Asians and to insult, you know, blacks and Latino Americans. Like, you know, in Japan, I'm a minority, man. I'm like an American in Japan, like in Sapporo. I am a minority, man, and I'm used.
You're
to
a maverick in Japan.
Well, yeah, but
that's a book plug right there, isn't it, for you?
Thank you very much for one of my books. But the thing is, like, Like, it depends on how you take it, too. I think everybody in America has gotten so sensitive that, like, you can't use a word anymore. Like, I don't like people limiting my words, you know? Like, minority, if you don't like it, we should just change the word. But, like, getting back to indoctrination. Well,
I want to touch on that just a touch there, because I think you're kind of hitting it on the head. Ultimately, they're just words, but it's the associations we build around them. And, you know, like, white. Black, for example. And the minute we start identifying ourselves with a color, we've limited ourselves completely in terms of who we are as conscious beings, as spiritual beings. And so, like, I'll take my skin, for example, right? Like, and I'll put it up to a piece of paper. That's not white. Like, you take somebody else's skin who's got dark skin, calls themselves black. You see what I'm saying? Wrong.
No, I know what you're saying, but the point is, like, you know, like when I went to school, and it was a long time ago, it was probably during the Stone Ages, right? You know, they had things like Caucasian, Mongoloid, and Negroid. You know, maybe they probably changed it. They said there are three races, you know, or whatever. You know, and
there's no DNA proof for race. There's no DNA proof.
Well, I get what you're saying, but you know, but here's the thing. I mean, like, I'll tell you something. I'm just being honest. I consider myself a human being on this planet, you know, most of the time, right? And so, like, if I walk, like, in New York City, which I have done many times as a kid, you know, I consider myself white. If someone says, hey, is that a white guy or a black guy, or is he an African American or whatever? They're like, well, hey, you know, skin's pretty white. You know, that doesn't mean I consider myself a Caucasian, but people like to have these categories. It makes it easy. You know what I mean?
But do you know why they like to have these categories?
I don't know. Maybe because there's safety in their own, like, you know, groupings. Like, I feel safer. Like, if I didn't know two groups of people and I saw five black kids, you know, and five white kids, and they were exactly dressed the same haircuts, you know, whatever, you know. And I had to get information in New York City at, like, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning, and I was lost, and someone stole my iPhone, and I, you know, I couldn't figure out where I was going. You know, I'd be honest with you, I'd probably go to the white dudes, unless, like, you know, they looked at me real funny or something like that, and they said, hey, we got a sucker here, you know. I'd most likely go to the group of whites, because you feel safer amongst people that are closer. And if I was a black kid, I'd go to the blacks, I think.
But
you know,
that's,
I think that's just normal.
Well, it's not normal. You think it's normal, and I understand your perspective on it, no question. I don't agree with it, but the reason you thought that it's normal is based on.
Are you telling me? Hold on, Hold on. I want to call you when I think of some bullshit here, and let's not talk about time, because this podcast is, like, starting to frustrate me. All right. So let me ask you a question. I'm gonna call you on some bullshit. So you're telling me if you're in Chicago, I know, you know, Detroit, wherever, what cities that you know real well, and it's like 3 a.m. in the morning and you're lost, and there's like a group of five kids that exactly dress the same age group, and five are white and five are black, you would just flip a coin and say, you know what, I think I'll just go with the black folks because, you know, it doesn't really matter.
I just follow my feeling. Tony, you know this, you know my life, you know situations I've been in. It genuinely makes no difference. It's just feeling the person. I've been a lot of parts and places on the planet where, like, you know, okay, like, the grace of humanity and God is what got me through.
So I'm going to do it a little differently. I'm going to give you a scientific study.
I want to touch back on this afterwards.
Chad, I think.
Go ahead. You got it. You got it. I got my thought.
A little bit full of shit. So Here's a scientific experiment, okay? You're in a dangerous part of the city, okay? You don't know why it's dangerous, but you know it's a dangerous part of the city. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. There's like three black kids, you know. This is a thought experiment. You don't get to look at them. You know, they're hanging out at one corner of the street, and there's three white kids hanging out at the other corner of the street, okay? And you're going to give advice. You're going to give advice. It's not even going to be you. It's going to be a really good friend of yours. You're going to give advice. And there's two situations. You got a black friend that you're close to, and you're going to give them advice. They don't know which one to go to. Who are you going to tell them to go to? You're going to tell them to flip a coin? I'll tell you right now, if it was a good black friend of mine that I didn't want to screw up, hold on. If it was a good black friend of mine that I didn't want to screw up, I'd tell them definitely go with the black dudes and ask the directions. If it was a white person, I didn't want to screw that white person, I tell them, go. Now, don't get me wrong, they might get shot by either group, but the point I'm trying to say is I think that your risk is less And that isn't a racist statement. That is just a statement of facts. So if it was
I disagree
you,
with that.
So what do you? So let me ask you a question. What do you tell your black friend who's in a dangerous part of town? And say, for example, it's a white town that's very dangerous for blacks to walk in. And there's three blacks on a corner, and there's three whites on a corner on a different corner, and they're lost in that town. They want to get the hell out of Flint. Who do you tell them to talk to? Answer my question and why. Who do you tell them? They talk, tell
and then
them
we'll talk go to on, the and then we'll go on to what I'm talking about.
Yeah, later. I want to know something.
You got to follow your gut because it could be anybody. And that's the point.
No, they don't get to see. They can't see. So what's their gut? What's their gut?
You follow the vibe. You follow the vibe of each person. And you can feel if somebody – you watch the eyes. You can follow the vibe of each person and feel their – you watch their eyes. The eyes will tell you everything you need to know.
Anybody who's like 20 years old in groups of three hanging out at 3 a.m. on the corner of a street in a dangerous part of town are probably two groups of dangerous people. And I can tell you right now, the vibe is that if you want to save your life, my advice to anybody listening is you pick your own race. I don't care if it's Martians. You pick your own race to be safer. Now you could be
so
wrong.
This is wrong. This is wrong, Tony. On this, So Dr. Eric Gibson has a book called "Race: The Root of All Evil." And like I said, there's no such thing as race. And this is a perfect exemplification of indoctrination right there, that we're continuing to put forth that this idea that race even exists. So first off, we're arguing upon a fallacy. Like, race doesn't exist. So now we're talking skin tone and skin color. And then all of a sudden we start bringing in the media indoctrination, the U.S. school system indoctrination, police brutality. All of these things play a factor into the unconscious and the conscious decision-making skills of the individual who's functioning in the society. So media portrays people with dark skin as violent, dangerous, impoverished, crazy, loose cannons, etc.
I don't believe that, but Ted,
I think we totally
got off of educated enslavement. I think we're
actually,
now talking about
actually, you know what? I think honestly, like, this is a perfect example of educated enslavement to a certain extent. I'm not attacking. But what I'm saying, like, in terms of, this is a perfect example because we've been conditioned to divide ourselves through this.
Right.
Like,
right.
Infants do not know division. Infants do not know danger in terms of based on skin color. Like, they'll hold the hands of anybody, whether they're similar or different or not. They don't even know what they really look like at that point. They just know love. They know vibration. They know feeling. And that's what we really need to get back to if we're going to evolve as a species, evolve into our higher being, and come together as a planet and get rid of all this bullshit that's dividing us, pin group A against group B, who may or may not be allies with group Z. And all of this is being fed by people who are the ones that are creating this idea of race. Race, for example, when people were coming over into the United States early on, people who were Italian, people who were Irish, people who were Romanian were not considered part of the, air quotations, white race. All of a sudden, then they start being like, oh shit, there's less and less. We better throw them in there too. Bring the gypsies, you know, and then all of a sudden they're in there. And now everybody's like proffering themselves as, oh, I'm white, I'm this, I'm that. It's a label we've identified ourselves with.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just too old fashioned, you know. I'll tell you, but getting back to New York, because New York, I had a lot of altercations in New York over the years. So I have my own impressions of what. But I'll tell you something funny. This is a little funny story. So there was one time that I was in New York with a friend of mine and we were out late. It was kind of like pretty late. And when I was growing up, we didn't have cell phones, you know, in our pocket to figure out like where we're going. You know, we actually had to ask somebody, right. You know, that's right. Why it was on my mind, you know. And I remember I don't know where we were, but like we were trying to find like a good part of town because we were like screwed up. And back in the 80s, man, in the 90s, you know, I think it was 80s or 70, late 70s, 80s. I don't remember when it was. It had to be in the 80s or something like that. And I remember walking through the city and being lost, right? And like, I was like, there was nobody white to ask a direction, right? And I was like, oh man, we're screwed. Like, we're going to get robbed, right? And I know it sounds racist to say that, but I'm just being honest. When I was a kid, like, you know.
You don't know what you don't know, you know what I mean? So it's nothing wrong with when you're young and you don't know, or you've been indoctrinated into that.
So
it's when you continue to practice it.
Yeah, I would say. So I was walking through New York, and like we were lost, right? And I saw this one guy, like dressed really well, you know. And I was like, you know, he was a black dude, right? And I kind of like, you know, like felt safe, you know, like thinking like, and he, but the weird thing was he had these like goons around him. I'm like, oh, this guy's probably like a mobster or something like that, right? You know, but we were lost. And I was telling my friend, I said, man, I can't get out. I don't know how we're going to get out of here. And the guy, we need directions, man. We're screwed. We're going to get, you know. And the guy turned around, right? He had like a mustache, you know, and he's like, oh, you lost? And these bodyguards are like around him. And he's like, oh, you just got to go over there. That's where the train station's at. It doesn't open up till this time or something. You should walk this way or whatever. I was like, oh, wow, really nice, well-dressed guy, you know. It shows you what I know about like politics, right? My friend goes, did you know that was like David Dinkins? I was like, I even knew who, you know, I was like, whoa. That's the mayor of like New York giving us directions in the middle of but I've had some bad directions. I won't get into that into this podcast. I've had some really bad situations. I had somebody try to rob me getting directions.
You know? Oh yeah, that happened. I've been there, Tony. I feel you on it. But
you know, but
I don't know if it worked out for them, it didn't work out for the other guy, I know.
Yeah, but to get back to you know, like educated enslavement. I think we should end this podcast. We've gone way past, but I said, let's not argue about the time. But the thing is, I think that a couple points. One, don't like get education that you believe in so you don't become some working stiff and some slave in some corporation where you're never going to be free. Because everybody gets education for freedom. I think that's why the slaves were not allowed in the United States. So back when we had slaves, God, was I'm embarrassed, like the 1800s or whatever, you know.
There's an asterisk next to that too, but keep going.
All right. So you can educate me on that later too, after the call here. But, I think that governments don't want people educated because they want you to be a slave. And even though like official slavery is over, I think we still got slavery in companies and corporations and the way we think now. Right. Right.
Absolutely. The privatization of the prison system. You got people going, I mean, the majority of people in prison, a large portion of them, dark skin, Hispanic, every, you know, and then it goes on and on, you know. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so I think that, like, keep your mind open. Don't go to school just to, like, go to school because you think you need a degree. Find something that you believe in that you want to do in your life. If you love what you do, then it's not a job. You know what I mean? That's the important thing. I love what you do and it's not a job. Don't be indoctrinated by the schools. Don't let your kids get indoctrinated by the schools.
Right. That's
I'm telling you, I don't think that's easy anymore. I think, I hate to say it. I mean, I think like charter schools, private schools nowadays, I think they're better. Like, you know, if you send your kid to like a Christian school, even if you're not a Christian, you know, I think those schools are Catholic schools. Even if you're not a Catholic, like those schools are better by far than most of the public schools. And I have friends that joke around and call it the public school system. I think that's sad. I think, you know, I was talking to a teacher the other day, and I won't mention his name to protect the guilty, but, you know, he worked in the public school systems in like Chicago and Flint and like Detroit. I think about Detroit. And he said it was so sad because like, you know, he wanted to do the right thing. He had 30 some kids in his classroom, right? And he's forced to feed them, you know, the core curriculum or whatever it is, Common Core. And, you know, and he's like, he wanted to do the right thing to help society. But like, we got too many kids in school. He can't give them one-on-one education. So he said he's sold out. You know, he's working at some private school now, you know, and he's making more money. And he says they got like 12 kids in the classroom instead of 30. I mean, like, so, but those kids are going to have a better chance overall. We need to fix the American educational system so it's not educated enslavement, so that you can have smaller classrooms. I think we're wasting too much money on stupid shit like the military and crap like that and bullshit. Like where I was sitting at a place where I'm reading the newspaper, I had like 30 people reading the newspaper. I mean, we should have been out planting tomatoes. We would have had more of an honorable job, you know, like picking the oranges or whatever in Florida, that's sitting around collecting fat paychecks. Just out of college, it wasn't fat, but for an engineer, you know, you're making like 30, 40 grand a year when I was starting in engineering, you know? So that was good money. And it's still good money now, probably, for a lot of people. And so, you know, wasting that kind of money when, you know, it should go to teachers, you know what I'm saying? And schools. But schools, that's a whole other topic. A lot of them just waste the money. So, you know, it's got to be done smart. But I've done, this has been our longest episode because I got pissed off at you.
You know what? I think it's still shorter than another one. I got pissed on you before too. So I think it just, I think that's subjectivity there. Well, remember we were talking about it. I go, man, I think, remember that last episode? That was like an hour and 20. And you're like, nah, it was like 50 minutes. I'm like, well, it felt like an hour 20.
Well, this one's
this like, felt like an eternity probably for
it's about an hour. It's about an hour. So why don't you end the show? And I'm just going to bite my tongue and just say in my head, I don't 100% agree with Chad, but I agree with a lot of you. End the show, please, because I'm done.
Yeah, no, it's all good, man. I think nothing wrong with differing opinions. And, you know, it's all, I think we always can learn something from each other. And I think, you know, tying up in terms of education, always remember that. We can always learn from each other. There's nobody on this planet in existence that we can't learn from. All of existence has something to teach us. And, in terms of finding your own truth, as always, do your own research and remembering that education is what you make of it. So like you were saying, Tony, follow your passion, follow your heart, and use whatever you educate yourself with in furtherance of that. And life is going to be pretty good from there. So thank you for everybody for listening in. Thank you, Tony, for the conversation. Always fun, always educational. Thank you guys. And until next time. Looking forward to it.
All right. Same here. Thanks for the folks for listening to this podcast. Look forward to the next one, Chad. Take care.
See you. You too, Tony. Thanks. Bye.